Don't you deserve a Medicare plan you can count on? Well, you can count on a Medicare Advantage plan from UnitedHealthcare. Enjoy reliable coverage and low out-of-pocket costs with a Medicare Advantage plan from UnitedHealthcare. And if you have a chronic condition like diabetes, chronic heart failure, or a cardiovascular disorder, you may qualify for a UnitedHealthcare Complete Care plan with plans that fit your life today and as your needs change tomorrow. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare plans at uhc.com/Medicare.
Dead America presents The Soldier, Day Zero, a multi-part serialized event. And now, please enjoy part one. Chapter one, Barksdale Air Force Base, Shreveport, Louisiana. 4:13 a.m., Day Zero. Sergeant John Flint tossed and turned in his bunk. Despite the late hour, he was wide awake. His large muscular frame barely fit in the bed, but it was comfortable enough. The thin mattress creaked under his weight as he shifted positions for what felt like the 100th time. Moonlight filtered through the half-closed blinds, casting striped shadows across the barracks floor. It had only been a few days after his 30th birthday, which is when he received his promotion to sergeant. Unlike a lot of the enlisted men, he signed up after college, making him one of the older sergeants. Most of the men around him had joined straight out of high school, making him feel ancient at times, despite being only 30. The promotion came with a handful of perks, like more responsibility and a higher paycheck, but it meant he had to be reassigned to a different base. The movement over the last 48 hours had taken its toll on his sleep schedule, which is why he was wide awake. His body clock was completely thrown off, leaving him staring at the ceiling while his bunkmate snored softly around him. The air inside the barracks was stagnant and warm, despite the air conditioning unit that hummed inconsistently in the corner. "Come on, Flint, you need to get some sleep if you're going to be useful today," he muttered to himself, his voice barely audible over the collective breathing of the other soldiers. Sergeant Flint forced his eyes shut, trying to will himself to sleep. For a brief moment, it worked, but the peaceful nature was shattered when the door to the barracks were thrown open, the light flicked on, and a booming voice filled the air. "Everybody on their feet now! This is not a drill!" Sergeant Johnson's voice thundered through the room, instantly transforming the quiet barracks into a flurry of movement. Flint let out a sigh before kicking his legs over the side of the bed. He planted them firmly on the ground, letting the coolness of the floor work its way up his body. The contrast between the warm air and the cold concrete helped shock his system into alertness, something he desperately needed. Flint looked around, seeing a dozen other soldiers leaping to their feet, throwing on pants before standing at attention as Sergeant Johnson moved through the room, kicking the beds of the stragglers. Johnson was a bull of a man, with a neck as thick as most men's thighs and a permanent scowl etched into his weathered face. "I said, get your ass up, now," Johnson bellowed at a particularly slow-moving private who scrambled to comply, nearly tripping over his own feet in the process. Johnson stopped in front of Sergeant Flint, looking down at him, speaking in a slightly respectful tone. Despite the ruckus he was creating around him, his voice softened just enough to acknowledge Flint's equivalent rank. "I know you're not in this squad, but it's an all-hands-on-deck situation, so I'm going to need you up too, Sergeant." "You got it, Sergeant. What's going on?" Flint asked, already reaching for his pants. "You'll find out soon enough." Johnson walked away from Flint, continuing to yell. Sergeant Flint rubbed the side of his head, clearing the cobwebs before getting to his feet. His movements were practiced and efficient, the result of years of similar wake-up calls, though usually they were planned drills, not whatever this was. The barracks had erupted into controlled chaos. Men were dressing quickly, some still wiping sleep from their eyes, others already alert and focused. A few whispered questions circulated, but no one had any answers beyond the obvious urgency of the situation. After a few moments, Johnson walked back to the front door, turning back to the men. His posture was rigid, and his expression deadly serious, even by his standards. "Okay, listen up. We have a national security event happening as we speak. I do not have the details to share, but it doesn't matter because I have orders, which is all you need to care about. Is that understood? Chorus of yes, Sergeant, filled the room, with Flint giving a half-hearted response. The phrase, national security event, sent a chill down his spine. In all his years of service, he'd never heard those words used in a real situation. Good. Now, I need everyone with ATAP blood to report to medical. The rest of you, get over to tactical and meet up with your team leader. You know what to do, so do it. Now move. The order about blood types caught Flint off guard. It was an unusual request, one he'd never encountered in any drill or protocol he'd been trained in. The other soldiers didn't seem to question it, filing out with the practiced efficiency of men following orders regardless of whether they made sense. Flint stood there, watching the rest of the soldiers move with purpose. A few of them were confused, wondering why they had to report to medical, but they followed the order without question. Within seconds, the barracks had mostly cleared out, leaving Flint standing alone, uncertain of his place in whatever was unfolding. As Flint stood there, Sergeant Johnson walked over. His heavy boots thumped against the floor with each purposeful step. The fluorescent lights cast harsh shadows across his face, deepening the lines around his mouth and eyes. Sergeant Flint. Sergeant Johnson. I'm assuming by the fact you're standing there like a lost child at the county fair that you don't have your assignment yet. Johnson's voice carried its usual edge, but there was a hint of something else beneath it. Concern, perhaps, or simply the strain of whatever situation had prompted this middle-of-the-night mobilization. I do not, Sergeant. There was some issue with my paperwork and I was told to hang tight and they would figure it out in a couple of days. Flint kept his tone professional, though frustration at the administrative snafu simmered just below the surface. Yeah, that sounds about right. You're still capable, though, right? Johnson looked Flint up and down, as if assessing his readiness for combat. Damn right I am. Just tell me what needs to be done. Flint straightened his posture, shoulders squaring automatically. First things first, do you have A-type blood? Flint stared at Johnson for a moment, before shaking his head in a confused manner. The question seemed oddly personal and completely out of place, given the circumstances. No, I don't. What does that matter? I wish I knew, but they only tell me what I need to know. Fair enough. So, where do you need me? Flint was eager to move past the strange question and into action, whatever that might entail. Get down to the base offices. They're at the south end of the parking lot. Fall in with Captain Patterson because he's a little short on manpower. Consider it done, Sergeant. And be careful out there. Flint nodded to Johnson, who immediately turned and began barking orders at the stragglers who weren't moving fast enough for him. Sergeant Flint wasn't sure of what to make of what was happening, so he allowed his training to take over, going through the motions to get dressed quickly before heading out the door. He laced his boots, tucked in his shirt, and grabbed his identification, all without conscious thought. His body knew the routine, even if his mind was clouded with questions. Flint stepped out into the base, which was a hive of activity. Men and vehicles were moving around like it was the middle of the day. While he had only been on base a couple of days, he knew it was out of place. The night air was thick with humidity, clinging to his skin as he moved through the soldiers rushing to their assigned positions. Flint put it out of his mind, double-timing it down to the rally point. His boots hit the pavement in a steady rhythm as he jogged through the base. The sound of engines revving, metal clattering, and men shouting created a discordant symphony around him, amplifying the sense that something truly significant was happening. As he got close, he saw a handful of soldiers gearing up for war in the parking lot. Full assortment of ammunition, sidearms, and assault rifles, the weapons gleamed under the harsh floodlights, their deadly purpose unmistakable, even at a distance. This confused Flint, as this was not something that should be happening on American soil. Armed soldiers preparing for combat operations within the borders of the United States violated countless regulations and laws, He stared in disbelief for a moment before Captain Patterson walked up to him. The captain appeared to be slightly younger than Flint, shorter but muscular. His uniform was impeccable even at this early hour, and his eyes were alert and focused, suggesting he'd been awake for some time already. "Are you Sergeant Flint?" "I am. You must be Captain Patterson." Patterson nodded and extended his hand for a shake, which was reciprocated. The captain's grip was firm and his hand was calloused, the mark of a man who did more than just give orders. "I know how this looks, and believe me, it's necessary." "So you know what's going on, then?" Flint asked, lowering his voice slightly, aware that whatever information the captain had might be sensitive. "Just broad strokes. Can you fill me in?" Patterson thought about it for a moment before nodding and pulling Flint over to the side. They moved away from the others, stopping near a concrete barrier that offered some privacy. The captain's face was grim. His usual military formality temporarily set aside in favor of direct communication. "There's been a biological attack on the country, more specifically in Austin." "Jesus Christ." The words escaped Flint's lips before he could stop them, the enormity of the situation hitting him all at once. "Believe me, it's a lot worse than that. Whatever was released has been spreading through the country for the last few days, completely undetected. Infected people get sick and turn violent." "How violent are we talking?" Flint asked, his mind already racing through the possibilities, none of them good. "Rip your throat out with their teeth, kind of violent." Flint stared at Patterson for a moment, his mind wondering if he was being pranked. He could see the seriousness on the faces of the captain and the other men, quickly realizing this wasn't a joke. "So what's the plan? Containment?" Flint asked. Patterson shook his head no, a dark look crossing his face. "From what I'm told, we're well past the containment stage." "So what are we doing then?" Flint asked. "Your mission is to get out into town and secure material for the retreat." "Wait, we're retreating?" Flint couldn't keep the disbelief from his voice. "The military didn't retreat. They advanced. They held ground. They protected." Retreat was a foreign concept, especially on American soil. "Yeah, I know, I'm not a fan either, but orders are orders. We need to load those cargo planes up with food, medicine, and other items deemed vital before taking off." "Where in the hell are we taking off to?" "When I know where we're going, you'll know, Sergeant. But right now, our only concern is securing goods from town." Flint contemplated for a moment before nodding in agreement. The situation was unprecedented, but his duty remained clear: follow orders and do what needed to be done. Questions about the larger strategy would have to wait. "You got it, Cap." Patterson looked over to one of the men that was loading up a box of ammunition into the back of an SUV. He whistled to him, getting the man's attention before pointing to his radio. The soldier grabbed one from the box, bringing it over. "Thank you, Private." The soldier nodded and ran off as Patterson handed it over to Flint. The radio was standard military issue, but it felt unusually heavy in Flint's hand, weighted perhaps by the responsibility it represented. "Here, take this. Half my team got taken out with the blood type order, so you're my right-hand man this trip out. Can you handle that?"
"Absolutely, Captain." Flint clipped the radio to his belt, adjusting it to ensure it was secure. "Good. I'm on Channel 2, home base is Channel 1. We're not going that far out, so the range should keep us in touch."
"You're on 2, base is on 1. I think I can manage," Flint said with a hint of sarcasm.
"Good man, now fall in, as we got a lot to get done, and not a lot of time to do it."
It's on, the biggest Maytag sale of the year at Lowe's. Buy 2 select laundry appliances and get up to a $100 bonus via instant rebate. Shop all things Maytag, including the new stackable Pet Pro laundry system that removes pet hair from clothes. Lowe's, we help, you save. Offer valid through 531. See store for pricing and offer details. Advertise savings on all major Maytag appliances through Maytag.com and participating retailers. Prices may vary. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Plan on flying? It's time to upgrade to a real ID. Because in order to board domestic flights, your driver's license or state-issued ID must be a real ID, or you'll need another acceptable form of identification. So don't wait. Find out how to get your real ID at tsa.gov/real ID. That's tsa.gov/real ID. Or visit your local DMV. And then you'll be cleared for takeoff.
Chapter 2. Sergeant Flint rode shotgun in the pickup truck with Captain Patterson behind the wheel. In front of them was an SUV with the other four members of the squad. The sky was still dark with only a hint of gray on the horizon, suggesting dawn was still a couple hours away. The truck's headlights cut through the darkness as they sped along the base's main road. Flint's fingers tapped rhythmically against the assault rifle propped between his knees. The vehicle's interior smelled of gun oil and the cheap air freshener dangling from the rearview mirror. Pine-scented, though the fragrance had faded to almost nothing. They sped through the base, quickly reaching the exit. The guards by the gate looked like they were on edge, as if they were expecting trouble. Their postures were rigid, eyes constantly scanning the darkness beyond the perimeter fence, hands never straying far from their weapons. The lead SUV honked its horn several times, getting them to pull open the large gate, which stood 8 feet tall and had barbed wire on the top. The iron bars groaned as they swung outward, the metal catching the glow of nearby floodlights. The two-vehicle convoy reached the road, immediately cutting to the north, speeding along the back streets towards the heart of the city. Buildings flashed by, mostly dark at this hour, with only the occasional streetlight illuminating their path. "Are you familiar with Shreveport, Sergeant?" Patterson asked, his eyes never leaving the road ahead. "If it's all the same to you, Captain, I prefer Flint. I'm still not used to the whole sergeant thing." Patterson let out a chuckle, nodding. His grip loosened slightly on the steering wheel, as if the brief moment of casual conversation provided some relief from the tension. "Sure thing, Flint. But to answer your question, this is my first time here. Well, this city has some charm to it, so it's a shame that we're not sticking around so you can experience it." Flint looked around, trying to get a lay of the land. The buildings became more numerous as they approached the downtown area, a mix of old brick structures and newer commercial developments. He looked to his left, spotting water that glinted dimly under the fading moonlight. "Is that the river over there?" "Yep, the Red River cuts right through the heart of town. Right along the east coast of it, there's a handful of casinos." Patterson responded with a hint of flair, as if he was enjoying the role of tour guide. "Damn, it is a shame we're leaving because I play a mean hand of poker." Flint spoke in a measured tone, causing Patterson to give him the side eye. The captain's mouth twitched slightly, unsure whether to take the comment at face value. "I can't tell if you're bluffing or not. See what I mean?" Patterson let out a laugh, shaking his head as they continued driving towards the northern part of town. The brief exchange lightened the mood, but the gravity of their situation remained an unspoken weight in the vehicle. "So where are we headed?" Flint asked, breaking the silence that had settled between them. "We're the tip of the spear, so we're going the furthest out. There's a supercenter a few miles away on the northeastern side of the city. We're going to get there, secure what we need, and prepare it for pickup." "Do they know we're coming?" "They don't, and while I don't expect the rank and file to object since they don't make enough to care, I can see the manager or owner having a few things to say." "How do you want to handle them?" Flint asked. Any hint of humor and lightheartedness dropped from Patterson's voice, his tone turning deadly serious. His jaw clenched visibly, and his knuckles whitened as his grip tightened on the steering wheel. "You were in the sandbox, right?"
"I did a tour, yeah," Flynn replied, memories of his time in the sandbox flashing through his mind. The heat, the dust, the constant vigilance required to stay alive. "Good, then you know how to handle people who get in the way of our mission. These orders come straight from the top, and they wouldn't be sending us out here unless something was seriously fucked. So whatever needs to be done, we do it." Flint shook his head, struggling to accept what was happening. The implications of what Patterson was suggesting went against everything he'd been taught about operating on American soil. After a moment, he began nodding, realizing that the captain was right. Whatever was happening was catastrophic, even if he didn't have all the details. So what did they tell you about the infected people, the violent ones? Only to use lethal force on sight. Well, all right then. Flint trailed off before letting out a horror chuckle. The sound was hollow, devoid of actual humor, more a release of nervous tension than anything else. Something humorous, Flint? Just realizing I picked a hell of a time to get promoted. Patterson shared in the laughter, nodding in agreement. The sound filled the cab of the truck, a brief respite from the bleakness that awaited them. You sure did. Just follow my lead and execute my orders, and I'll get you home safe. Copy that, Cap. Patterson continued following the lead vehicle as it sped down the street. Flint looked around to the side streets, catching the occasional movement in the shadows, but unable to make out exactly what it was. Once, he thought he saw a figure stumbling drunkenly across a gas station lot. Another time, what looked like a person scurrying between parked cars. Each sighting lasted only a second, too brief to be certain of what he'd seen. A couple minutes went by before they got the supercenter within view, a few blocks away. It sat right in the heart of a shopping district, with several big box stores anchoring several smaller stores in various strip malls. The massive building loomed ahead, its large sign illuminated like a beacon of commerce. The stores were on both sides of the street, and despite the hour, numerous cars were scattered in the lots. While most of the stores were closed, the supercenter was 24 hours, and the early morning crew at the hardware store had begun showing up. However, only their cars were visible. "Keep your head on a swivel," Patterson instructed, his voice dropping to a near whisper as if they might be overheard. "You got it, Cap." Patterson slowed down to look around, allowing the lead SUV to pull ahead. The shopping center parking lot was unnervingly still, the emptiness punctuated only by islands of parked cars surrounding the still-open supercenter. The fluorescent lights from the store's interior spilled out onto the asphalt, creating pools of harsh white light amid the pre-dawn darkness. The other soldiers pulled into the parking lot first, slamming on brakes when tires squealed from the parking lot. The sudden sound cut through the quiet morning air like a gunshot, immediate and alarming. Patterson and Flint looked towards the other vehicle, which was a good 50 yards away. They watched helplessly as a pickup truck sped through the lot, swerving at the last second and slamming into the front of the SUV. The collision was violent, metal crunching against metal with a sickening crunch that echoed across the empty lot. Christ, we're starting early. Patterson hit the gas, picking up speed and rushing to his men's aid. He used the truck to jump the curb so that he could flank the wreck in case the occupants of the truck were hostile. The vehicle bounced roughly as it mounted the concrete divider, nearly throwing Flint against the dashboard before the suspension recovered. "You cover the truck. I'll get my boys," Patterson ordered, already reaching for his sidearm. Flint nodded to the captain, getting his rifle ready as they pulled up. Patterson slammed on the brakes, screeching to a halt. The smell of burning rubber filled the air as the tires skidded across the pavement. Flint reacted swiftly, throwing open the door and running towards the truck that was 10 yards away. His assault rifle was in the firing position, ready to put down whatever threat there may be. His boots pounded against the asphalt as he moved, his training taking over as he maintained proper form and coverage. Flint yelled out as he approached, reacting to the movement coming from the driver's side. The figure inside was thrashing wildly, and Flint couldn't tell if it was from the impact of the crash or something else. "Keep your hands where I can see them." Flint ran around the back of the truck, keeping his rifle aimed at the driver, who was thrashing about as if he was in the middle of a temper tantrum worthy of a spoiled 5-year-old. The truck's frame was badly damaged from the impact. The passenger side crumpled inward where it had struck the military SUV. Steam hissed from the radiator, adding an eerie quality to the scene as it caught the glow of nearby lights. Flint came around to the driver's side carefully, his aim trained on the figure behind the wheel. He stopped a couple yards shy of the door, bewildered by what he was seeing. The rifle's barrel wavered slightly as his brain struggled to process the sight before him. Flint slowly lowered his weapon completely, staring at the driver, or what used to be the driver. The man was still buckled into the seat, flailing about, trying to break free but seemingly lacking the intelligence to do so. The creature's arms smacked against the steering wheel and the dash before turning to the window once it noticed the sergeant standing there. There was no pain response, no reaction to what must have been serious injuries from the crash, just blind, animalistic rage. In an instant, the ghoul pressed its face against the glass, smearing blood on the window, gnashing its teeth as if it was trying to bite Flint. The sound of teeth clicking against the glass was audible even from where Flint stood, a hungry, desperate sound that raised the hair on the back of his neck. Once he was sure the window was going to hold, Flint took a couple steps forward, getting a closer look. The zombified driver had a massive neck wound, as if the flesh had been torn off by a wild animal. The area where the throat should have been was a ragged mess of mangled tissue and exposed muscle. Blood soaked the man's shirt, still pouring out of the wound as if it were fresh. By all medical logic, the man should have been dead minutes after receiving such an injury, yet here he was, moving with uncanny vigor and focused aggression. "Hey, Cap, I think you need to see this." Flint continued staring at the creature, unable to take his eyes off of it. "Captain Patterson, I think you need to see this." Flint called louder, but didn't get any response. Finally, he looked over, spotting the captain helping the driver and rear-seated passenger out of the damaged SUV. The two soldiers on the passenger side, which were just a few yards from him, managed to get out under their own power. "Are you boys all right?" The two men looked dazed, making it apparent that the truck hit them hard. Blood trickled from a cut on one soldier's forehead, and the other was holding his arm at an awkward angle that suggested a possible fracture or dislocation. When they gave him a thumbs up, Flint turned his attention back to the zombie, that was still as agitated as ever. The creature had begun striking the window with increased force, its movements becoming more frenzied as it fixated on Flint. The glass, designed to withstand significant impact without shattering, had begun to show signs of stress, tiny fractures spreading outward from the point of impact like a spider's web. Flint took a step back, raising his rifle once more. The creature's aggression was escalating, and he wasn't confident that the window would hold much longer. His finger tensed on the trigger, ready to fire if necessary. Suddenly, the two soldiers yelled out the words that no soldier in a dangerous situation wants to hear. "Contact, contact, contact." Chapter 3. As the soldier continued yelling out "contact," Flint spun around to see what the threat was. He raised his rifle as he turned, looking out across the lot. The weight of the weapon felt reassuring in his hands as adrenaline flooded his system, sharpening his senses to razor precision. He immediately spotted four creatures running towards them, no more than 20 yards away. Three of the four were focused on the two soldiers by the SUV, while one was locked onto Flint. Their movements were uncoordinated yet determined, like broken machines still attempting to execute their programming. The sergeant hesitated, staring at the zombie bearing down on him, spotting its blood-soaked shirt as it got within 10 yards of him. The creature's face was contorted in hunger, its mouth hanging open to reveal teeth stained crimson. Before he could squeeze the trigger, the soldiers to his right opened fire. Gunfire filled the air, the relative darkness of the parking lot illuminated by muzzle flashes. The sharp reports echoed off the surrounding buildings, creating a disorienting cacophony. Flint watched out of the corner of his eye as the bullets slammed into the zombies' torsos, doing nothing to slow them down. Each impact caused a small explosion of flesh and fabric, yet the creatures continued forward without so much as flinching. Finally, he snapped into the moment, taking aim at the creature sprinting towards him. He squeezed the trigger several times, sending a trio of rounds towards the ghoul, hitting its center mass, The impacts pushed the zombie back slightly with each hit, creating small bursts of dark blood that spattered outward like morbid fireworks. However, the bullets might have well been spitballs, as they were just as effective. The ghoul continued racing towards him unabated, crossing the remaining distance with terrifying speed. Its feet slapped against the asphalt in an irregular rhythm, arms outstretched and fingers curled like claws. "What the hell?" Flint muttered in disbelief, adjusting his aim. Flint pulled the trigger once again, the bullet hitting the zombie in the throat, which didn't slow it down. A ragged hole appeared where the projectile tore through, sending blood pouring out, but doing nothing of substance to the creature. Before he could fire again, the zombie was within arm's reach, forcing the sergeant to duck down. The ghoul grabbed nothing but air as it reached for Flint, its momentum carrying it into the side of the wrecked truck. The creature's fingers scraped against Flint's shoulder as it passed, leaving a chill that seemed to penetrate his uniform. For the creature hit with enough force to dent the side panel, knocking it off balance and down to its knees. The metal groaned from the impact, a hollow sound that mixed with the ongoing gunfire. Before it could get back up, Flint sent several rounds into its legs, preventing it from getting back up. The bullets tore through muscle and bone, leaving the limbs mangled and useless, yet still the creature tried to move. Flint slammed his boot into the zombie's back, pinning it against the truck. The ghoul thrashed its arms about, trying to break free. The sergeant stared at it for a brief moment, listening to it moan but not calling out in pain. In fact, it didn't seem to even register that it had been shot multiple times. The sergeant flinched as several gunshots popped off to his left, causing him to turn towards the others. Fear struck him as he saw the trio of zombies were on top of the two soldiers. The attackers had closed the distance while he was dealing with his own assailant, overwhelming the men before they could find the zombie's weakness. The men called out in pain as the creatures put teeth to flesh, ripping it right off the bone. Their screams were primal, the sound of humans experiencing agony beyond comprehension. One of the soldiers raised his handgun up, putting it to the creature's side and pulling the trigger several times. The muzzle flash illuminated the gruesome tableau in strobe-like bursts of light. The bullets ripped through the zombie's gut, which didn't faze the ghoul at all. Gore and viscera spilled from the wounds, yet the creature's attack never faltered. It wasn't until the soldier repositioned the handgun to the side of the zombie's head and pulled the trigger that there was a proper reaction. Brains and skull fragments splattered out onto the pavement, the ghoul it came from falling limp on top of the soldier. The wet sound of the impact was sickeningly final, followed by a moment of stunned silence from the wounded man. Flint's mind went into overdrive, quickly putting the information together. The pattern was unmistakable. Body shots did nothing. Headshots were lethal. He raised his rifle, pulling the trigger and sending a single round through the back of the zombie's skull that was still pinned beneath his boot. In an instant, it fell limp. The only thing holding it up was his boot on its back. The sudden transition from violent animation to complete stillness was jarring. He immediately began yelling out, "Shoot him in the head! You gotta shoot him in the head!" His voice carried across the parking lot, competing with the ongoing cacophony of gunfire and shouts. He wasn't sure if his words reached their intended target, but he hoped that they did. Flint turned his attention towards the other two zombies that were still feasting on the soldiers. He took careful aim, pulling the trigger and sending a round through each of their skulls. Like the others, they fell limp onto the wounded men on the ground. Flint opened his mouth to call out to Captain Patterson, but before he could, more gunfire erupted from the driver's side of the truck. The sharp reports came in rapid succession, suggesting the captain was facing multiple threats. The sergeant broke from his position, stepping to the two fuse hoods of the vehicles to see what they were firing at. He was momentarily stunned at the sight that greeted him on the other side. A dozen zombies ran across the street, coming from the direction of the hardware store. Most of the men were dressed like they were prepared for a long day of construction, while a couple were in bright blue smocks with the store logo across the chest. Some carried tools that dangled uselessly from their belts, hammers, wrenches, box cutters, their human purpose forgotten as the creatures pursued their new singular goal. All of them acted in the same manner as the zombies he had just put down. No hesitation, no self-preservation, just relentless aggression. Captain Patterson was the only one firing his rifle, however. His bullets were striking the creatures in the chest, doing nothing to slow them down. Each impact caused the zombies to stagger momentarily before they resumed their charge, closing the distance with alarming speed. "Captain, aim for the head!" Flint yelled out as loud as he could, thankful that his words seemed to get through to the captain, who glanced back at him before adjusting his aim. The next shot found its mark, blowing out the back of a zombie's head and dropping it. The creature collapsed mid-stride, sprawling across the pavement like a marionette with cut strings. Flint raised his rifle, taking aim and firing, however he missed. The bullet whizzed past its intended target, disappearing into the darkness beyond. He squeezed off a few more shots, finally landing a kill shot. The problem was that the creatures were getting too close, the distance between them and the soldiers shrinking with each passing second. Captain Patterson turned around, pointing at Flint and yelling out forcefully. His face was contorted with the strain of command decisions being made in split seconds. "Get to the store, that's an order." Flint didn't argue, turning to start running towards the store, thinking that the captain and the others would be right behind. The super center loomed ahead, its illuminated entrance a beacon of potential safety in the chaos. He got 10 yards from the wreck before looking back, his conscience demanding a check on his comrades. Instead of seeing the others following, he saw Captain Patterson shoving the two wounded soldiers back into the SUV. The captain's face was a mask of determination as he worked to secure his men, seemingly unconcerned with the approaching horde. "Damn it, Cap," Flint cursed, torn between following orders and going back to help. Flint stopped dead in his tracks, raising his weapon and firing as fast as he could towards the mob of ghouls that were quickly closing the gap to the wreck. Two of his bullets found their marks, dropping a couple of creatures, but it wasn't enough. For each one that fell, two more seemed to appear from the shadows of the parking lot, drawn by the noise and commotion. Flint watched helplessly as Captain Patterson turned to run towards the store, managing to get to the wrecked pickup truck before the first zombie reached him. The creature's fingers closed around the captain's uniform, yanking him backward. The captain spun around, firing his handgun right in the face of the zombie that grabbed him, however. It slowed him down too much. Within seconds, three more zombies swarmed him, taking him to the ground. Their combined weight bore him down to the asphalt, where his struggles became increasingly desperate. "Son of a bitch," Flint muttered. Flint raised his rifle, ready to fire, only to stop when he realized a handful of the zombies were running after him now. Their attention had shifted, perhaps drawn by his movement or the sound of his voice. He turned and ran as hard as he could towards the store, keeping a fast enough pace to get him there with 20 seconds to spare. The distance between him and his pursuers stretched thin as his lungs burned with exertion. The front sliding doors were sitting ajar, as if someone had pushed through them to get out of the store. A splatter of blood was on the side of it, a dark stain that glistened wetly under the fluorescent lights from inside. Flint raced through, grabbing the doors and pulling them back onto the track. The mechanism resisted his efforts, damaged by whatever had occurred earlier. He reached up, hitting the off switch, allowing him to push the doors together. The panels shuddered in his grip, reluctantly aligning. Before he could lock it, however, two zombie arms shot through the opening. The blood-covered flesh pushed into the gap, fingers grasping blindly for him. Flint strained against the door, trying to hold it closed as the zombie flailed about, smacking him in the face. The creature's nails scraped across his cheek, leaving burning trails of pain in their wake. As he struggled to hold it closed, a booming voice came over the loudspeaker of the store. "Hey, you, by the door, behind you, look out!" The warning echoed through the cavernous space. bouncing off the high ceiling and rows of shelves. Flint snapped his head around, looking into the store where three zombies were sprinting out from the aisles. Their footfalls echoed throughout the store, their moans growing ever more excited by the fresh prey standing at the front of the store. How will Sergeant Flint get out of this? Be sure to tune into the next exciting episode of The Soldier, Day Zero, to find out.
It's on, the biggest Maytag sale of the year at Lowe's. Buy two select laundry appliances and get up to a $100 bonus via instant rebate. Shop all things Maytag, including the new stackable Pet Pro laundry system that removes pet hair from clothes. Lowe's, we help, you save. Offer valid through 531. See store for pricing and offer details. Advertise savings on all major Maytag appliances through Maytag.com and participating retailers. Prices may vary. Additional terms and conditions apply.